Adrian Zabala, please.
Just a minute.
Thank you. Hello. Adrian?
Yeah.
This is Brent Kelly. I wrote you several weeks ago about interviewing you.
Yeah.
Is this a good time, sir?
Well, when you think you'll come by?
Well, no, I'll do it on the phone. If you recall, I wrote you, I'm in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I wrote you and told you I remembered you playing when
Zeals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just do it on the phone. I'd love to get there, but I can't do it.
Okay.
Is this a time, or would there be a better time, sir?
Well, you're asking me the question. You gotta let you know if you gotta know something.
Okay. Well, just want to talk about your career. First, I want to say I remember back in 1954, I was 13 years old, and we went to 10 or 12 games. It seems like every game we went to that year, you pitched.
Oh, yeah.
You come in third inning, fifth inning, something like that. I don't remember seeing you start one all year long.
Yeah.
But I think you relieved every time we were up there.
Yeah, well, back in, I think it was a 50, 52 or 53, I forget, 52, I think it was 53. I think I was in 78 games, something like that.
And that was in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, I was with Minneapolis.
Yeah.
One time, we went to Genovese, was a manager. Genovese?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Genovese was a manager. And we was playing in Minneapolis, you know. And I released two games in there in a row, and he said to me one day, he said, I want you to go up to the outfield, you're running there for 5 or 10 minutes. I said, okay. So I went up there with Nigel Bay. He said, well, I want you to take a shower and go sit down in the stand someplace where I can see you, because if you know you have to pitch it today again. I said, it don't matter. He said, the heck, you've been pitching 22 games in 20 days. That's good enough. So he gave me a... That game, he gave it all, because he said I was too many things I was going to pitch with.
Well, you
I pitched in 22 games. In 20 days, I pitched in 22 games.
How many innings did you have in there?
Well, I forgot how many innings it was a year, you know, but I was pitching only about two innings, maybe once in a while, pitching three innings.
That's what I remember you with the Seals, about two innings, I think.
Yeah, I used to, most of the time I was one or two innings. You know, but I was throwing every day, and I never bothered me or anything, you know.
Well, you must have had a heck of an arm, because there were years there you were pitching right about 300 innings earlier.
Oh, yeah, well, I built my hand. You know how I built my hand?
How?
When I first came to the United States, I was too wild. I signed with Joe Cambria.
Uh-huh.
You don't know if you heard about him.
Sure, oh, yeah, he's famous.
Yeah, so... we went to play in Joe's Space Bank. So they don't let me pitch in there because I was too well. You know, I pitched pretty good, but I was well.
How old were you then?
So there they wanted to bring me down here to Florida. I said, no, I go back to Cuba. It was in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
First year. I was only about 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Cuba, and there's one scout, I don't remember his name. He told me to build some kind of, some kind of sack or something behind the plate on the piece of lumber, you know, high but by my side, and put a hole in the middle, a 12-inch round hole.
Mm-hmm.
Try to throw the ball through the hole in there. And I did this for 60 days in Cuba.
Wow.
So for 60 days, after 60 days, my hand was getting tired, you know, because I used to throw my feet in 20 minutes a day. I don't throw hard. I just try to get used to bring the ball and let the ball go on the front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other place, or let the ball go on the front of my eyes, which was looking maybe in a corner outside, or maybe in a corner outside or inside, either way, which one I want to throw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to do that, so... After 2 months, my hand got big, and all my boys over there say, Zabala, you go crazy. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He go crazy. He did. He put the thing in there like a little fan, you know,
uh-huh.
With the hole in the middle. And he tried to throw the ball through the hole. And they don't know. I was trying to get the control.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said it was crazy. I said, well, let him think of the way. So after there, I thought, for like I said, too many days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My anger was real swallow. I said to myself, I better rest. So I rest for a week. After 1 week or 2 weeks, something like that, my anger got all right again.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to throw the ball to the guys, you know, the team we have around my city. So I went to pitch. And every time I was thrown right in the middle of the plate. I mean, real hard, you know, right in the middle of the plate. And everybody said, damn, how the heck you throw harder? You know. So from there on, I never got the wall again.
Well, you had good control. I remember that. You had darn good control.
Oh, I used to throw the catches. Like, what's the name? Jack Early. He was my catcher.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say, Jack, you call the pitcher you want to and tell me where you want to. Give me the sign, you know, if you want it up, down, low, angle, you know. And that's what I used to do with him. It was easy to do because I concentrate on the hitting, but at the same time, I watch the sign he gave me, you know, he went inside or outside or low. And that way we got it beautiful. We got along real good.
He was a good catcher, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was a small behind the plate.
Yeah.
He never forgot the hitters. And besides that, he talked a lot with the hitters. Tell a joke, this and the other thing, and you know what I mean?
That helps the pitcher a lot, doesn't it?
but this will make it be a good, you know, a good catch.
Mm-hmm. Well, you pitched over 3,000 innings. Did you ever have any arm trouble once you got going?
No. The only thing I got out of trouble, arm trouble, I forgot what year it was. We was playing exhibition game in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Dunderson, you know, he used to play third base for us.
Right, he's Hall of Fame now.
Yeah. So we went, our team was going to play to Knoxville, Tennessee, which was a Class B team.
Mm-hmm.
But the manager said, hey, then I want you to pitch for Knoxville because Knoxville belonged to Minneapolis. You know, belonged to the organization.
Right.
He said, I want you to pitch for Knoxville against our team. I want you to throw the ball hard to them to see how they, you know, how we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to pitching. And in the four or five innings, I don't remember, Dandridge hit a line driver through the mound and hit me in my shoulder.
Oh, boy.
On my left hand. Right, like if it was a foul ball, you know how the catcher get a tip on the shoulder with a foul ball?
Sure.
He hit me right in there.
That hurts.
I can't move my arm around or nothing too. I can't do nothing with it for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only thing I got through with my arm.
But it did come back right away.
Oh, no. Well, I started massaging myself, you know, do different things. It went away.
Yeah, well, that's good.
For 2 or 3 days, I can't do nothing. I can't put my overcoat, you know, it wasn't in the winter almost. I want to put my overcoat. It was too heavy in my shoulder.
It pinches a nerve or something. I had that happen to me on a ground ball, bounced up and hit me there, and I couldn't lift my arm for about 4 or 5 days.
Uh-huh.
I know the feeling. That's terrible.
Well, maybe that's what it was. It was my nerves and healed something, you know. But that went away and never gave me a throw again.
Well, did Joe Cambria bring you to the United States?
What?
Did Joe Cambria bring you to the United States?
Yeah, he's the one that signed me, gave me a contract.
Okay, and he brought you up, what, and how did you,
he was in Cuba.
Right, he was.
In 1933, I think it was, he bring Bobby Stalella.
Uh-huh.
He used to play for Washington.
Right, just died here recently.
Stalella, you know, he was old guy, he was old, much older than me.
Yeah.
And an old Cuban guy too, somebody named Morales, something like that. He went to Washington too. They both were doing pretty good. Oh, he bring to Carrasquel, the pitcher.
Alex.
The pitcher was San Luis Brown. And Washington, he was a pretty good pitcher.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, but he started to be a scout, so every year he used to go to Cuba. And he bring Mike together. He got the, what's your name? Pascual
and Ramos.
He got a bunch of Cubans.
Yeah.
Soro Versailles, What was the Cuban player that used to play for Washington? Camilla Shannon.
He did an excellent job.
He was in Cuba from 1934 or 35. He was in Cuba almost all year round until Castro took it over.
Yeah.
He had to run away for Castro, too.
Yeah, but up in the late 50s?
Yeah, in the late 50s, late 59. That's when they come into the United States.
How did you get with Panama City back in the late 30s?
Well, when they gave me my release, you know, because in 1936 I can't make it a team because I'm well.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to Cuba, do like I say.
Right.
In 1937, the friend of mine from my city, he was playing in Panama City, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a pitcher in there. So they called me to see if I want to play in there. It was a class D.
Right.
So I went in there and I pitched in 1937. The last month and a half of 1937. Something like that. In 1938, I pitched in Panama City again. So then I come down here to Jacksonville, Florida. To Jacksonville, Florida, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In 1938 for 1 week. And then from there, I come in 39, 40. 41, and 42, they sold my contract to the New York Yanks that belonged to Jersey City, New Jersey.
Right.
Belonged to them, you know. So I went to Jersey City.
But you were owned by Jacksonville up to that point?
Yeah, I belonged to Jacksonville City, okay. Baseball Club at 39, 40, 41, and part, half a season of 42.
Well, you were leading the league in everything in 42 when the Giants bought you.
Well, I was pitching pretty good in the first year of the Giants. I pitched it about 1 month a day on my second year in 45, because I went to the Army.
Yeah, you were in the Army in 43?
43 and 44.
Okay, yeah, 44 you were only half a season, yeah.
And then in 45 I would come back to Jersey City. And there I was in there about 15 or four, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking me to the big league. Sam Magley and myself and Denny Gardella, we all three went to the big league in 1945.
Right.
That's when the war was over too.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back to the 46, but they gave me a contract, you know, but they gave me a contract for $4,500 a year.
Mm.
And I thought I can make a living the way in big league. So they don't want to give me no more money. So, well, that's the way it is. So I said, okay. So that Pascal, Pascal is the name of the man from Mexico City.
Right.
I think he got about 30 or 32 ball players.
Got a bunch of them, that's right.
Yeah.
Magley was one of them, too.
Magley worked with me, too. Well, Magley was the same way. They offered Magley $5,000. And Magley said, well, so Pascal came in, he gave me $15,000. And Magley, plus a $3,000 bonus. Magley got about $14,000, $15,000. Plus $10,000 bonus.
Mm-hmm.
My Lanier, I think he got about $15,000 too, plus $10,000 or $15,000, I forgot enough.
Ace Adams went down there too, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he went back in there. Ace Adams was a relief pitcher with us.
Right.
It was a big relief pitcher, but it was a good one.
I think one of the best in the league, I guess.
He was with us.
And he was paid a bunch of money, wasn't he?
No, he was making about $5,000.
I mean, to go down to Mexico.
No, he got a good money in Mexico, too. He got I think it was 3 years for $40,000.
Wow.
He got 3 years for $40,000. And they gave me half the money before he went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they gave me all the head.
You pitched very well down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did pretty good, too.
Well,
I was trying to do pretty good.
You came back. Well, you know, when you came back, they wouldn't let you back in, so you had to go up to the provincial league.
No, we went to Canada.
Yeah.
See, because Pascal, the owner of the team in Mexico, he lost a lot of money.
Yeah, I bet. That's what I heard.
I wouldn't come back in there because they say I can cut my salary. I said, well, I don't go over there no more anyhow. So in the 48 and 49, I went to Sherbrooke, Quebec. It was Roland Gladue, Magley, McLennier, a bunch of niggas for the Color League, you know, guys from the Color League. It was out there. It was a good thing in there.
That was a real tough league. There's a lot of good ball players.
So we went up there. And we stayed there until they take us back to the district. They take it all my suspension. You know, we were suspended for 5 years.
Right.
So they take off my suspension, and I come back to New York, but then I went to Leo DeRoche. I played with Leo DeRoche, and he wanted me signed for $4,000. I said, no, I don't play for $4,000. I go home. So then he gave me $5,000. He said, well, I give you the minimum, $5,000. I said, well, I don't think I want it. So we get talking, you know how you talk about before, and Tosh Lee said, well, if you make a team, I might get you more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead, I pitched in the polo ground, I went again. I went to Cincinnati, I pitched, I went again with 3 days rest. And then next day, I come back in the polo ground, I released one in. We 1 day rest. And there, with 2 days rest, I started pitching again in Cincinnati again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, then, I almost make a team because look how he used me. So then I went to him. He said, no, Ada, I can't do nothing now. You have to wait for next year.
Oh, boy.
I said, you know, Lee, you lied to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think he likes too much. He said, no, it's an agonizing. Oh, well, he gave me a bunch of belongings. So I got mad, you know. And you know, when you got mad sometimes, you know, you say a lot of different things. They might later on you'll be sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's.
So I told him I was right in there. And then I went to pitch in Pittsburgh. I was pitching. I was doing pretty good. And the catcher gave me the sign, you know. And that was hit me pretty good. I said to the catcher, listen, let's change the sign. Because look to me like they got the sign. Because we got outside sign.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, never mind. So I got mad with him, and I told him too. You know.
Yeah.
He said, oh, but anyhow, they got up a 7-8 hit.
Oh.
And he don't take me out, so when he came to get me out, I told him. So I got mad with him, I told him too. I said, damn, I've been trying to tell him, you know how you do when you get mad.
Sure.
So I told him, the other guy, I was right in front of the kitchen, him. So I got mad with him. The end of the season, he said, well, Adrian, I told her, too, I said, you know what? The best thing you do, send me to the minor league because I don't want to play with you no more. I told him it like this.
Yeah.
So at the end of the season, he sent me to Minneapolis. Hey. In Minneapolis, I was pitching pretty good ball in Minneapolis.
Sure.
Because Indianapolis got one pitcher there. They wanted me to trade me in for the shortstop. And Leo don't let me do it. Then Chicago White Sox wanted to get taking me to the big league, you know, when the Lopez went to manage.
Uh-huh.
And then he don't let me go. He said, no, leave it in there. I'm going to call Zavala back.
Oh, boy.
In the meantime, they saw the ball play Houseman. He told me, Zavala, you make a big mistake. I said, why? He said, you shoot on talking in front of the catcher. What you said about Leo DeRoche, because you never come back to the big league. I said, why? Because you don't know Leo. Leo, he never let you come out. He's going to creep you down there until you don't be able to pitch. And I'll be there. He did.
Yeah, you turned in 4 very good years with Minneapolis.
Huh?
You had 4 very good years with Minneapolis, and it seems to be no reason why you. In fact, each year you got better. Your run average went down each year there.
Yeah, well, I was pretty good in there. But, you know, back in there, the baseball was completely different than today. Today you can say nothing to the ball play.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say salsa, they find you. I mean, they don't find you. They get in the you know, you got the Baseball Association to help you up.
Yeah, you got the union and everything.
Yeah, but back then there, what I was, you was independent.
Well, you were a slave back then.
Well, I was good, but if you open my mouth, say something, like the, when they sent me to California, you know why they sent me to California?
No.
Because I wrote a letter to Cal Hubbard. You know, Cal Hubbard was
sure.
The general manager.
Yeah.
I told Cal Hubbard, I said, Lisa Hubbard, if you want me even play baseball, send me some play because I don't want to play with Russell Ryan. Russell Ryan was the general manager for the Minneapolis.
Right.
And one year, like I was telling you what ago, I was in 78 games. I forget, I won 13 games, lost 4, plus I say about 25 or 26, I don't remember how many. And he said, well, but I can't give you a race because it's a complete game. Boy, I blew out the ring, I told him too.
Well, you didn't start any games, you couldn't pitch a complete game.
Huh?
They weren't letting you start any games. You couldn't pitch a complete game.
Oh, I pitched with Tommy. He was a manager. I used to be released and I start again with Tommy Heath for 2 years.
Yeah.
In 1950-51. On the starting pitching. But then he said to me one day, Adrian, no matter where I be, if I be in the big league or any place, you go and work with me because you never say no to pitch. Every time he asked me, you want to pitch it? I went ahead and pitched. And I did pretty good, you know, I do pretty good work with him.
Tommy Heath was a fine man, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was.
And we had, you know, the relief pitcher we had, at that time, they don't work so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was pretty lucky, you know, I saved a lot of games, so he was using me in both ways. The starting pitch and relief pitch. Well, and then when I went to San Francisco, he was my manager over there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked the way I was doing with him.
Well, sure.
But he was reasonable. You know, when he said, well, you pitch 5 or 6 days in a row, you don't do nothing today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to have a day off.
Once in a while, he gave me a break. But the other guys were a little bit different. Rossi Ryan, gee. I don't want to know nothing about him.
Well, how did you get back down to Jacksonville? You got right back where you started, practically.
Well, I got married here in Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
And my boy born here in Jacksonville. And my wife and brother living here in Jacksonville.
Oh, so it's family.
So, excuse me. So I want to get back to Jacksonville because, you know, be with my wife in here and her brother was here and her aunt, you know. Her family from Carolina, you know, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But half of the family was living in here.
Oh, that's good.
And that's why my boy born, so I want to stay here. I got my daughter, she born in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You have just 2 children?
Yeah.
A boy and a girl?
Yeah.
That's good.
And this is what I stay here in Jacksonville, and I know a lot of people here in Jacksonville. By the time I quit playing baseball, I was getting old, you know.
Oh, you were about 40 years old when you retired, weren't you?
Yeah, I was about 40 years old.
Yeah.
That's what I said, well, I better stay here. And I got me a job here in the paper mill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got a pretty good job in there, so I stay there.
Are you retired now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was in 1980.
So how old are you? You're about 78 now, aren't you?
77. 77? I'll be 78 in August. August 26th, I'll be 78. If y'all make it.
Oh, you'll make it. You sound too good.
I hope so.
Well, let me ask you, in 1949 with the Giants, you pitched a shutout. Do you remember who that was against?
Against the Cincinnati.
It was? That's the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't forget the Cincinnati because Larry Hams used to pitch for us, for New York. He pitched the first game, and he shut out the Cincinnati. And then Leo DeRocher told me, Samara, you go and pitch against the so-and-so. So I pitched against the, what the heck is the name? It was the left-hand, Raffensperger, something like
that. Raffensperger, yeah.
Yeah, Raffensperger, left-handed pitcher.
Right, good pitcher.
So I pitch against the end, I shut him out too. So we, you know, I never forget it because it was two shutout games.
Yeah.
That's what I never forget, that game.
Was that, what was your biggest game, or your best biggest thrill, something like that? Is there one that stands out? Is that it?
Well, I tell you, that my real thrill was, if I keep it talking to you, I'll be talking all night.
Well, that's great as far as I'm concerned, but you may have something else to do.
Well, my real thrill was, that's a little bit different. See, when I was a kid in Cuba, I was about 15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My brother used to love baseball. He used to play baseball. My two other brothers, they used to play baseball. I was fresh for Cincinnati. In the light,
mm-hmm.
Cincinnati. And he thought I was playing, then I started playing amateur. You know, like college baseball.
Right.
And I was 15 years old. So I said, I don't want to play with a bunch of people there because I only weigh about 140 pounds, 150 pounds. He said, no, you're going to pitch. He was a manager of the team, too. So he making me pitch. So then I started pitching with him, and then I went to Havana play ball. And I played for the club, and the amateur ball. And I went to champion pitch. So my brother said, well, the way you go, you're going to big league. I said, I don't go to big league because I don't go to United States. So he said, oh, yeah, you go to United States. So I got me a job. By the time I was 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I was working in Havana. And he got mad with me. He said, no, you're going to quit your job. You ain't going to work anymore. You're going to play baseball. And you're going to play with the thing I told you. If you need a money, you need a thing, I gave it to you. But there, about 3 months later, see, he owned about two buses. You know, buses.
Uh-huh.
So he owned the buses. So he was working one night, they have a record, he got killed.
Oh.
So after that, I want to quit. I said, well, I don't play no more ball. So my older brother said, no, wait a minute. You're going to play baseball because your brother said that he wants you to go, so and so. So you're going, you told him you will, and now you're going back up. Then I started thinking about it. I said, well, he's right. I got to make the big league. So that's what I was looking for. When I got in the big league, the first game I pitched in the Polo Ground, it was against St. Louis, I think. I pitched the ball game. It was the first time I pitched in the front of 55,000 people.
Oh, boy.
I was nervous. God, I didn't get the run, nothing too bad. Somebody was with me because I beat them. I beat about, I don't know, it was 3-2 or 2-1. It was a real close game.
Uh-huh.
I beat the St. Louis, which is ahead of a good team.
Oh, yeah.
They catch you out, Mort Cooper, Cooper Brolin.
Oh, yeah, they were the top team in the league back in those days.
Yeah, they was the best, well, the best team in the league.
Right.
I got so happy, and, you know, but at the same time, I was sorry myself because my brother and I was with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
I was real happy. I mean, happy as it can be.
But I bet you were.
At the same time, I was hurting myself thinking about my brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know he was there with you.
Well, after that, day I got married, I was marrying everything, you know, I said, well, I have to keep it going my life that way. So I keep it doing that way. Okay, I quit in 1957. I coached here in Jacksonville. And the team, you know, we have a team in baseball and the Sally League.
Uh-huh.
And I coached here with Ben Garrett. And in 1957, I quit.
Jacksonville's always been a good baseball town.
Oh, yeah, we have a pretty good team here.
When did you...
A lot of good ball players.
Oh, yeah, a lot of good ball players have gone through there.
Yeah.
When did you learn English? Did you learn English in Cuba or did you learn it here?
No, I learned English. My wife tried to teach me, and she said, I don't know how to speak English yet.
Tell her she knows you too long because it sounds pretty good to me.
That's what she's telling me right now.
Oh.
I met her 53 years. She said, I haven't learned to speak English yet.
She, you know, she understands everything you say by this time.
Huh?
You know that she understands everything you say to her by now. So.
You want to ask her? You can ask her if you want to.
Well, who was the best player you saw? I mean, you played baseball for a long time. You saw an awful lot of good ones.
Oh, yeah. The best catcher I saw was Lombardi.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch Lombardi. I went to ask him, I said, hey, babe, what kind of sign you going to use? He said, I don't use no sign. I said, what? He said, I don't use no sign. You throw what you want to. I said, oh, boy, you got me. He was a big son of my guy, you know.
That's what I hear. Yeah, I never saw him, but I understand
yeah.
He was a big
one. He wanted no sign. And the glove he got, it looked like a fresh-baked glove. I said, what the heck, you got it? He said, oh, shut up. You know, he's talking like that. He was a real nice man.
Everybody says that he was just as nice a person as...
He was wonderful. He's the best man I've ever seen in the play. Friendly. Everything. You can ask anything, he don't bother him.
Yeah.
No, me, nobody bother him. I said, listen, I don't give a damn what you say, but give me a point with your finger where you want to end out or what? I don't know the people around here. He said, nobody, they can't hear. I beat St. Louis. I forgot how much it was.